When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Is This Good? The show where we boldly, conclusively, and scientifically decide what things in this big wide world are good. I'm Matt Austin, and with me as always is production powerhouse Jason Doyle.
Hello.
Hi, JD. Thanks for coming. And today's guest is a very funny stand-up comedian whose special Live at Raccoon Motel is now available on YouTube. He's also one of the hosts and producers of LA's only comedy show, Rod Stewart Live, a show that has been officially sanctioned and approved by Rod himself. He's a big fan of independent comedy. It's Zach Pugh. Zach, welcome to Is This Good?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Good to be here.
It's great to have you. I know you from the show Rod Stewart Live, which I said you produce, you host, you do stand-up at, though I did just find out that you moved to New York and the show might not be around anymore.
That is correct. We are doing one final Rod Stewart Live on May 28th at Whammy in Los Angeles. Sam and I will be recording EPs with a Special Thing Records, and then that will be the end of Rod Stewart Live's long, beautiful run.
Okay, and this is not because Rod sent a cease and desist.
No. I mean, that's kind of what we were hoping for years, is that we would get so big that the cease and desist would come. But unfortunately, that has not been the case.
But from an SEO perspective, we are sending all the traffic for searches of Rod Stewart Live directly to his tour dates.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, I have never been good at SEO. Everything I've ever named has been an awful name for that purpose.
Why did you pick Rod Stewart out of curiosity and not, like, I don't know, Neil Diamond Live?
I mean, I think it was just me, Sam, and James were all kind of out drinking, trying to think of a name for a show, and somebody brought up, it'd be funny to name it after one of those, like, famous, you know, 70s live concert DVDs, and Rod Stewart was just the funniest artist we could think of at the time.
Oh, okay. I think, you know, because I am a little worried, because I think there was a story not long ago where he punched out a fan or something.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. I think, you know, British, he's got the fight in him.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it wasn't that. So, like, let's say you are, obviously, you're a stand-up, you go, you tour around the country, you perform in LA, but I guess at some point you say, hey, instead of fighting for time on other people's shows, let's start our own. Where we're guaranteed to get up every week.
Yes.
But then I wonder, how annoying is it once you've already started it to then book it every week?
I don't know. It was like, it was fun. It's fun to get your friends on stage, especially in LA where that's very hard to make happen. So it was nice to have a place like every week to put up our friends. But yeah, just getting people to come to the show, the stress every week of, is anybody going to be here? Are they going to hate the show? Which, you know, happened often when we were at La Comedia. So yeah, I'm not going to miss the stresses that come with putting on a comedy show, as fun as it was and as much as I think it helped me grow as a comic.
Right. Well, when it's at La Comedia, which is just a bar, you probably do get the situation where people are there out to have a drink and have a chat with a friend. And then suddenly you tap the mic and are like, all right, who's ready for some comedy?
Yes.
And they're like, you know, but I wonder, is that why you change it to Whammy, which is, for people who don't know, what is it actually? It's a place where you can literally buy old VHSs of Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yes. It's a VHS store of mostly Mrs. Doubtfire and Titanic, but also a bunch of other films. And then it's like a micro cinema, so they do screenings on the weekends there.
How many VHSs were they moving on an average day, do you think?
That's a good question. They got online sales, so it's tough to really gauge. But I feel like they were always selling at least a dozen every time we were doing a show.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, people love it, you know? They love the novelty of a VHS.
I mean, but the thing that always struck me was there would sometimes be like 12 copies of like Dr. Dolittle or something. And I'm like, wow, they're really putting their money down on this.
I mean, there are some movies that I think there were so many copies made, and then somebody will call them up and be like, hey, our dad died and we want to give you all of our VHS tapes. Everybody's dad has a copy of Dr. Doolittle. So that's how you end up with a dozen
my
copies.
My dad especially. Oh boy, did he loves talking animals.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if VHSs now are where vinyl was 20, 30 years ago. You know what I mean? Like kind of defunct in terms of a kind of media that people use, mm-hmm. but now valued as a collectible.
Yeah, I think it's probably more like a cassette in music.
An 8-track.
Because it's not like vinyl has like the, you can hear more of the sound. It's not cutting out the highs and the lows. Whereas like a VHS objectively is worse quality than a DVD.
Yeah. It's true. But you can play with the tracking, which is always my favorite thing to do when the things were up and people are like, oh, fuck, there's something wrong with the tape. I said, hold on, guys. Yeah. I got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could turn it left. You could turn it right. Never knew what was doing anything, but still it was exciting.
Yeah. You're like, I'm a bit of a tech guy. I know how this stuff works. Don't worry. I'll figure it out.
So we're excited. You just told me before we started, you moved to New York.
Yes.
Sort of a last minute thing.
Mm-hmm.
How's it going so far?
Oh, you know, I miss Los Angeles every single day. Everything here is a little bit harder. Just every little thing you want to do takes a little more time. But I'm getting used to it and I'm enjoying doing comedy out here and, you know, taking the train every day is something that I enjoy having in my life.
Oh, and you can walk to all your venues, you know, that's what
Absolutely.
People always say. That's exciting.
Yeah, it's kind of like
you could hit 10, 12 spots in a night, as I'm sure you're doing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the life I definitely want, is to rush around the city for 7 straight hours, peddling my wares.
Yeah, you got a slice in one hand, like the opening of Louis, you know, just because you don't have time to sit. You're going to so many spots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is where I'm trying to make my similarities with Louis's life in New York sort of end, is with the slice, and then we're different in every other part.
Why, did something bad happen with him?
I don't know. I've heard some rumblings. I don't know.
I've heard some things in my whisper networks.
Yeah, yeah.
Zach, just some very quick housekeeping. If you'd like to support the show, not you personally, Zach, but the people listening, you can go to patreon.com/isthisgood. You could send topics for future shows to isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. And of course, don't forget to subscribe on YouTube where you could see all of our faces. Zach, the premise of the show, it's very simple. I'm going to give you a topic and we're going to talk it out and decide if it's good. So here we go. First topic, Tamir M. asks, forced perspective vacation photos where you hold the Leaning Tower of Pisa or pinch the top of the Taj Mahal. I created this amazing graphic for you to look at. So going, you know, top to bottom here, we've got someone holding up the Leaning Tower of Pisa. We've got someone pinching the top of the Eiffel Tower. We've got someone making out with the Sphinx in Egypt. Then, of course, we have the classic pinching the top of the Taj Mahal shot. These are salt flats. I believe they're in Bolivia. But boy, you can do a lot of things with forced perspective in those Bolivian salt flats. It's a man stepping on a group of people. And then the final image, I just realized, Zach, that you're doing this from your phone, so I hope you can see this.
I can't see any of this, but you're doing an incredible job of describing.
Oh my God.
Pictures.
Now I know that for the people that are just listening on the podcast and not watching on YouTube, that they're really going to get it.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, you're doing a great job.
Okay, and then the final one, which I'm truly really sad you can't see, is a man... pinching the David's penis, the famous sculpture.
Okay, that seems disrespectful, but all right.
A little rude. first question, do you understand what I'm talking about with the holding the Leaning Tower?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I would never do that.
I
think it is bad. I'll just say it right up front. It's bad. It is not good.
Okay, you got a lot of guts. You come on the show, you give your opinion right away, and
Absolutely.
I appreciate that. So wait, have you, like, let's say, which of these monuments have you ever seen? Like, have you ever seen the Leaning Tower of Pisa?
I have not. I've never even been to Europe.
Okay, so then you don't know how hard it is to resist the urge to hold that thing up, because it is leaning.
Oh, sure, sure. But, you know, I would just physically do that with my hands, you know?
That's right.
Yeah.
It's time a big, strong American went over to Europe and showed them what's what.
Yeah, I'm not MC Escher. I'm not trying to do some sort of tricks and traps out here.
So I did go to Pisa. I think it was 2000, 2001. I definitely did not have a cell phone I did have a digital camera, but I think because it was sort of like, obviously the internet existed, but not in the same way, I didn't really know that this was a thing, that as soon as people, you know, walked into the square where the tower is, would start, you know, fixing themselves to do it. And there'd be the guy with the camera going, to the left, two steps, too far, to the right, arms up. And I was embarrassed for everyone there because all you're seeing, you're not seeing the picture. You're just seeing people going like, or the back lane. Like it's, the front cover of a sitcom or
Mr.
something.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith, yeah.
Yeah, classic. But I have to say that I was like, I guess I should do it. I guess I should try to hold up, and I'm very bad at it. Didn't look like it at all.
No.
Threw the picture out, deleted it.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I will say that I think there's an excuse with the Leaning Tower because it's leaning. And we don't like buildings that are not straight.
Yes.
I don't want to speak for you, Zach, but...
No, I think as a society that is true. We would like our buildings to be straight. I have always said I don't understand why we're celebrating the shoddy architecture of the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Oh, they fucked up, and now we're supposed to be, like, excited that it's kind of falling over? That's not impressive. Make a normal tower that stands up straight.
Do you think they pretended once it got all this sort of traction outside of Pisa that they pretended they were like, no, we knew what we were doing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. No, the tower is supposed to look like that.
Giuseppe! <Yeah. laughs> Now, JD, you've traveled throughout Europe. Have you ever done this? I feel like the answer is no, but I just need to confirm.
Absolutely not. I was in Paris 2 years ago, and outside the Louvre, there's that glass pyramid in the middle of the courtyard at the Louvre, and everybody likes to have their finger on the top. At least 20 people at a time trying to line up and do that exact same shot. I mean, like, you can see around you that you are not original, just right there in that moment, but it's nonstop. Hundreds and hundreds of people a day doing the exact same pose. I hate it.
Well, Zach, would it change it for you if there was an actual prop there? Like, would you, you know, get on a cannon and pretend it's your penis, for instance?
Oh, yeah. I think physically touching the thing with your body and taking a picture is perfectly acceptable. And I would say should be encouraged, you know?
Right.
But yeah, this trickery, I'm not here for it. Photoshop can do the same thing you're doing very poorly with your phone camera.
Well, never mind Photoshop. Now, like, have you seen those ads? I forget what phone it is, but I think it's a new Samsung phone where the whole ad is a mother is taking a picture of her husband throwing their baby up and down on the beach.
This is the NBA playoffs every commercial break. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So yeah, we're all watching and seeing the no flex zone.
Yeah.
And it's driving us nuts. But I haven't really heard people talk about this commercial.
No.
Because it's not, I guess, annoying, but I get mad every time because I'm like, well, let me finish. So the guy throws the baby up, the mother takes the picture, kind of pinches in on the baby, and then moves the baby like 7 feet higher.
Yes.
And they're like, look at this. Isn't this so great that the phone can make it look like your husband is so strong that your baby is facing imminent death?
Too high. It's too high for a baby to be. What do you need that picture for?
What? The airtime. The baby doesn't need that much airtime.
If child services saw how high this baby is up in the air, they're taking that baby away.
And it's like, fine, if you're a cool dad, you know, I mean, I don't think we're dad, Zach. Well, I know I'm not. I don't think you are. JD is. But if you want to be a cool dad and do that thing where you put balloons in a baby's hand and then you hold the baby kind of just on the other side of a door jamb so they can't see your hands, and then you pick the baby up and then the mother comes running, or the grandmother usually, so much funnier if it's Nona, and they're like, oh my God! It's like the beginning of Up. And then you're like, no, it's just me, a cool dad. But again, that's the canon. That's pretending the canon is your penis.
Absolutely.
The Samsung phone is like an AI dystopia.
Yeah, you're discussing, we're talking about practical effects here. And those are good.
We've
taken them out of film. We've taken them out of our lives. And we have let technology take over so we can live in this fantasy land where men can lift towers and babies can be thrown 20 feet in the air.
It's so true. Being in LA, I'm sure you like you hear so much bullshit film talk. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I've always hear people complaining or celebrating. You know, in this movie, they didn't use what are they, squibs? What is that thing? Where basically like the flare that comes out of a gun when you shoot a gun. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, they didn't use real ones. They put those in after. And I always have to like pretend to be like, yes, that also disturbed me greatly.
Yeah.
Also ruined the experience for me.
Absolutely.
But look, you respect practical effects.
100%.
I do almost no research for this, but I did have to say that. So when I saw the guy pinching the penis of the David, which Zach, you didn't see, but hey, yeah. When this posts on Monday, be sure to go to the YouTube.
I don't want to look at that. That's just okay. Crass. Okay. No respect for art.
I found an article in the Irish Times titled, Why the Ancient Greeks Didn't Make a Big Deal of Penis Size. Because I feel like this guy pinching is saying, like, look at this guy's, look yeah. at this famous guy's tiny penis.
Uh-huh. And I'm listening. Continue.
Yeah. Okay. No, well, you might like this. All right, so from the article. In fact, scholars have put time and effort into exploring the question of penis size in sculpture. Michelangelo's David is, for instance, surprisingly small. One reason is that in ancient Greece, which is the inspiration and source for a great deal of Renaissance art, a large penis wasn't something to shout about. Instead, a smaller penis was associated with good citizenry and intellectual pursuits.
Huh.
Now, doesn't that make you feel better?
Yeah. It definitely sounds like a bunch of nerds with small penises being like, actually, this is what smart guys have.
Exactly.
I don't know about you, but I've certainly been comforted by so many of my ex-girlfriends saying, well, did you know that in ancient Greece?
Why do you all know this?
It also says, scholars have also posited that Michelangelo, ever keen on exactitude, created his David diminished due to the natural fear of facing off against Goliath. And my question here is, do you think they're saying that he wanted to make everything about David seem small, so in comparison to Goliath, he, you know, it would be all the more impressive that he defeats him? Mm-hmm. Or are they literally saying, in this moment, when he's looking at Goliath, his penis gets smaller?
Yeah, I think that's what I read from that situation. He's saying that he's experiencing shrinkage due to the great fear in his heart. Sure. Despite having God in his corner, you know, he should be ready to go.
Yeah, it is. But did he fight him naked? Or
I think everybody fought naked back then. That's my understanding. Yeah,
great point.
That time in the world, it was different. You know, they don't really describe it in the Bible, as I remember the story. You know,
it's true. It was a lot of nude wrestling.
Yeah.
So Zach, we've never done this on the show before. So excited that you're here for this.
Okay.
But we have another segment on the show called Pick Your Poison, where I give the guests some related options that are all bad. And they have to pick the one which they consider the least worst option, so
okay.
The best of the bunch. But we're going to do it right here embedded in this question because the category is embarrassing holiday photography. So why stop at this forced perspective stuff? Now, this one's going to be, again, a problem because you won't be able to see it.
Uh-huh.
But I did make, JD, can you put it up anyway so I can see it for my edification? some embarrassing holiday photography that you might have seen on the internet.
I can see these.
Oh, you can see these?
Yeah.
Mm.
Holy hell, the show's about to get a lot better.
Yeah, these are embarrassing.
Okay, so first one, yoga pose on the cliffside.
Uh-huh.
Next one, jumping in the air on a beach.
Ugh.
Next one, making a funny face at a British palace guard, or, you know, trying to make a British palace guard laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Imitating a sculpture. So let's say like you got Rodin's Thinker with the hand on the chin, and then you stand next to it doing the same thing, creating a hilarious duality.
Yeah.
And heart hands around a sunset. So that's where you see a sunset, and you put your little heart hands here, and you can see the sun through it. So
oof.
You have to pick one of these.
Oh, I think it's easy.
Okay, well, if it's easy, then before you tell me, can you tell me which one is the worst? The one you definitely wouldn't want to have to take and post to your social media?
Heart hands over the sunset is like, that's about as bad as it gets. That is live, laugh, love territory as far as taking photos. The jumping on the beach played out. We've all seen it. It's not exciting anymore. It was cool the first time you had a camera to do it, but we're way past that.
And also, do you have a good vertical?
Not great. No, I wish I did.
I've been forced to do this by my family.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, I swear to God, my mother jumped higher than me. I don't know if it was the timing of the photograph.
Yeah.
But I'm a no on ever jumping anywhere, really.
No. When I play basketball,
you lower the rim to 7 feet, I'm still not making it.
Yeah, it's going to be close. I'm probably going to hurt myself.
Yes.
I stopped trying to touch the net years ago. I'm like, this is not my game. Stay away.
Well, don't worry, guys. The ancient Greeks, they weren't very up on the vertical leap. So,
oh, that's really good. Yeah. JD, thank you so much. That's really good to hear.
As if it's any consolation.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you jump too high with a giant penis. That's going to slap you. And you don't want that.
Absolutely.
So then, wait. So which one is the easiest then?
Oh, you mean you're making a funny face in front of the British Palace Garden? 100%. Those are cops. Fuck them.
Okay, fine. They are cops, but it is the most cliche thing you could do at Buckingham Palace.
Absolutely, but I think it's like this is on par with giving a cop the finger or something, which would always be cool. This is really sticking it to the monarchy for all of the horrible things that they've done throughout history. And none of it should exist. Their stupid little fucking outfits should be mocked. I love this. I love this idea of, especially in an Elmo costume. Come on.
How could this guy, look at this stoic motherfucker. how could he do it? How could he not laugh? Apparently they lose. And this is from, this isn't even from Reddit. This is from Quora. Apparently they lose 200 pounds from their paycheck if they laugh.
Whoa.
I don't know who's monitoring this, but...
Damn. Put Sebastian Maniscalco in front of these guys. They're going broke in a friggin' 10 minutes,
Oh my God. He does the doorbell bit? That's 12 minutes of laughter.
It's over. He talks about going Chipotle. These guys are losing their jobs.
When he talks about his Entenmann's cake that the mother saved for the people.
Or when
he talks about squeegeeing his shower. My boss... are on the floor.
He's the best.
I don't really do impressions. I also love how, there'll be every once in a while a video that goes viral because when they're doing the changing of the guards and they're just walking stoically in a line, they'll just step on a fucking kid. Like a tourist will be there being like, mommy, look at that. They'll just boom, step right over him. And then the comments will be like, that's their job. I'm sorry. That's this kid's fault. And I'm like, surely they could Euro step to the right to get around the child.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's all bullshit. All this old British, we've been here, we were a great empire. It's over, dude. Stop being assholes just because we've all moved on and surpassed you.
Do you think maybe this is something for your act? Like when you're touring the country and people aren't laughing at your jokes, maybe you could drop what is this, a beef eaters convention?
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, because they can't laugh.
No, that's fun. Yeah, I love to antagonize the audience whenever I can. I'm really good at dealing with hecklers and people being mad at me.
Did everyone go to a steakhouse before this comedy show? Because you're all a bunch of beef eaters.
Yeah,
that's a different way to say it.
Yeah,
just or if you're doing early show and late show and you don't want to repeat yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Why are there tables here instead of troughs? Because this place is full of pigs. Oink, oink.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oink, oink. I will say, okay, one thing. I don't like the statue thing, like where you do whatever the statue's doing. I will give special dispensation for people that take pictures next to paintings where the person in the painting looks exactly like them.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
like,
absolutely.
If someone from the 12th century looks exactly like you,
yeah,
I think that's perfectly
that's
fine
cool.
to do.
No, that's cool. Yeah.
So we poll people before the episode, and 57% of people said forced perspective vacation photos are not good.
Hell yeah. Okay, good.
Thankfully,
good job on the listeners. Yeah.
Good job, listeners. Now this one, let's see if they get this one right, because this is controversial. Trevor S. asks, drinking alone, is this good? And I bring up this topic because I feel like kind of ever since I started drinking, but more and more, there's this like people are drinking, but they're always wanting to tell you, but I don't drink alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never understood why that is a thing to brag about. Like, if you do drink alone, why does that automatically mean you have more of a problem with alcohol than drinking with other people? Because there's some people I know throughout my life, JD, I'm sure you can say the same, that are going to bars 6-7 days a week so that they don't have to face themselves and ever say, oh, well, I've been drinking alone. You know what I mean? But what, it's better that they're doing it sitting at a bar? What's going on here? Why are people so intent on telling you, oh, but yeah, I drink, but I'm not alone.
Yeah, so we're saying that drinking alone means in your home, no one else is there.
Yes.
That's okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. When someone smokes pot at their house by themselves, nobody says a damn thing.
Well,
nobody is.
I would
like,
say
oh.
the opposite. I would say, don't worry, I never smoke around other people. I would never subject people to my personality when I'm stoned.
Absolutely.
Which is silence, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, same. Yeah, I'm in my head. I'm like, I'm the most insane man who's ever lived. I got to get out of here.
The TV is talking to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's a reason people drink. It's because it's fun and it makes you feel good. And sometimes you're just at home and you're watching a basketball game and you're like, hey, what if we just kind of turn this up a little bit, you know?
Yeah. But I wonder if people are conflating drinking alone with getting shit-faced alone. Like, yes. I mean, obviously that's not good if you're getting shit-faced alone every night by yourself. Yeah. But I guess, again, it's not no better if you're doing it when you're around people.
No.
But when I Googled, because when I put up these polls, I got to Google an image. I'm really letting you behind the curtain here, Zach.
Oh, yeah.
I got to go to Google. I got to type in the thing, get an image, and then go to Instagram and put that up there with a poll. Mm-hmm. I Googled drinking alone, and literally, you know when Google, in the search results, it like shows you something, but it's not even a link you have to click on. It's like, boom, we're putting it right here. And it was the number for a suicide hotline.
Yeah, so, they do that now.
Yeah. So then I clicked on images to get the images, and every picture was of someone looking so miserable. Like they were about to die of cirrhosis, or speaking of basketball, like a three-team parlay had just, you know, crapped out for them or something. And then I literally had to Google drinking alone happy. just to find a single fucking picture of someone not looking like they were about to kill themselves.
Yeah. Did anything come up?
A woman in a bath drinking a nice Beaujolais.
Oh, so that's okay. If you're in the bath and you're drinking a wine, that's fine. These wine drinkers are the biggest alcoholics of all because they have convinced themselves they are taking part in some sort of cultural experience. You're just getting drunk. You're getting drunk like the rest of us. You're not any better.
Yeah. Just because you say mommy needs her juice doesn't make it any less weird. In fact, it makes it weirder.
Yeah. You just drank a half bottle of wine. That's like a six pack of beers. Okay. You're not any better than anybody else drinking alone.
That's fucking right. Getty Images, get on this.
Yeah.
I'm gonna recruit a bunch of people, my friends, each alone. Zach, you can be included here.
Yeah.
Watching the Knicks-Sixers game with a beer in your hand, smiling in front of the television.
Absolutely, yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
I don't know. I'm trying to think, is there anything that is, that's legitimate to say, like, only do this with other people, don't do it alone? I mean, speaking of Maniscalco's Entenmann's cake.
Yeah.
Cake is certainly for celebration, but I would say, what's better? Eating cake alone when no one's there to judge you.
Yeah.
And the bathroom is 3 feet away from you.
Right. Take a slice as big as you want. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. And you don't have to carefully cut it. You don't have to put it on the plate so it stays erect.
Mm-hmm.
You could flop that thing on its side. It can be in seven different pieces, but goddamn, you're happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also then, I've also thought, because I do live with my girlfriend now, but I was single for a very long time, and I've always thought that people that brag to me that they didn't drink alone were kind of stunting on me because they, like, so if you have a girlfriend or a wife or whatever, does that mean you're not ever drinking alone? Like, or does she have to be drinking too?
That's what an alcoholic might say. Well, I'm not drinking alone. My wife's here. She doesn't like it, but she's here.
I do meth, but don't worry. Always in a group.
Yeah. Yeah.
So JD, you don't subscribe to this. You proudly drink alone.
Proudly. Absolutely.
Good.
Of course.
Yeah. That's the right answer. That is, every other thing that people do alone, people are like, go you. That's very independent. Oh, you go to the movies by yourself. Oh, you can go eat by yourself. Wow. That takes such self-confidence, and you're so happy with who you are as a person. But then you do that drinking and they're like, well, this guy, something's wrong with him.
Yeah, that's 100% correct.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, not 100% of people agree with us, but
of course not.
I'm actually surprised by how high this percentage is. 74% of people said drinking alone is good.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. I mean, people who listen to podcasts, that checks out, you know, just a lot of in your home, trying to reach out for things to connect you to the world around you.
Shout out to you if you're sucking on a PBR while listening to this. We salute you.
Absolutely.
All right, Zach, when people need help navigating life's biggest decisions, they seek our wise counsel and we deliver an airtight verdict. It's time to settle this. So our loyal audience, Zach, they write in with questions they have, and I'm going to read you an email, and then we're going to solve this problem for this person.
I love it.
Hi, Matt and JD. Big fan of you guys and the No Dunks crew. I was hoping you could help me settle this. I received a $100 bill as a gift from a family member for my birthday. I don't really use cash much, and my friend and I recently had a debate on how I should spend the money. One of the only places I use cash is the barbershop. My logic is, great, this $100 is saving me a few trips to the ATM. I'll just spend it on a haircut, which is about $40 where I live. It's just part of my regular spending money. My friend disagrees. He says when someone gives you cash as a gift, their intention is that you'll buy yourself a gift with it. Therefore, what you spend it on is technically their gift to you. You shouldn't spend it on everyday things. So please settle this. Who's right? Should I save this $100 for a more special occasion, or is it okay to spend it however I like? Does this mean that my Aunt Sandra's birthday present to me was a haircut? Thanks. That's from Max.
Mm.
So, you've never been to Europe, but you may have been given some money for a birthday once.
Absolutely.
Okay. And you have drank alone. 2 out of 3. Uh-huh. Pretty good.
Absolutely. Yeah. Man of the people.
So what do you think? Did you, when you were given cash, did you feel like you had to make an effort to buy something so that the next time you saw Aunt Sandra, you could be like, I got a scarf.
Yeah, this one's tough because it's like, as I'm sure many of us have been, you know, you're in a situation where money's a little tight, you know, maybe credit card bills are piling up and maybe you get a little $100 or $200 and you're like, hey, I understand that maybe I should be using this for a gift, but the fiscally responsible thing to do would be to, you know, maybe buy these groceries I need or, you know, pay for a haircut or whatever. So I do side on the, I'm on the side, I think, of the money is yours to do with what you please. If the person wanted a gift for you, they could have bought a gift. If anything, okay, I've talked myself into this. If they wanted you to have a gift, they should have been a little more thoughtful and come up with something.
Right.
Don't put it on me to come up with the birthday gift.
I did make a note to myself to look up the word fungible before the start. I did forget, but I'm going to say it anyways. I think it's fungible money. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, how are they going to know that once you're going to take that $100, you put it into the ATM, let's say, that's now co-mingled with all your funds. So
Right. Literally,
how do you know that the $100, let's say the $50 for the haircut is any different than the $50 for the scarf?
It's all the money.
It's all the money.
Yeah.
And I kind of have news for people. When you're going to a wedding and they're like, give us money for our honeymoon fund. No fucking way they're using all that money for their honeymoon.
No.
They're using it to pay for like a parking ticket, frankly, or whatever.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Yeah. That's why I don't give people money for their wedding gifts. I'm like, hey, you guys just split your rent in half. Why am I giving you shit right now?
You're splitting your rent in half and you never have to drink alone. You got
Absolutely.
It made.
Yeah. Yeah. I just paid $500 to fly here and I had to get a hotel. And then I'm giving you a gift as well. Get out of here.
Now, the problem is that Aunt Sandra, she might get upset, right? That you didn't get anything for yourself except for like, you know, beer. With the money she gave you.
Yeah.
So now the problem is she might get miffed. And next year, she might get you a gift card. So now you have to spend that money at Toys R Us or, you know, wherever.
Sure. I mean, I think that's fine. Because then if you have the gift card, the choice is made for you. It's kind of what we're talking about is that, like, if it means that much to Aunt Sandra, then she needs to switch up her game a little bit. And if she does, great. We'll play by your rules, Aunt Sandra. But if you give me $100... That's my money now.
I mean, it has happened to me where, let's say, like, I don't live in the same city as my family anymore. And they've given me something when I've been back home. And then, like, the next time I see them, they'll be like, oh, what did you get for yourself? Mm-hmm. And I'll have to do a long pause. And, I mean, it's just easy to just say, like, oh, I got, there's a t-shirt I want. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Like, you got to make something up. Because you can't just say, I put it into my bank account and used it for groceries.
Right.
Right.
But that is 100% what I did. Because also, it takes a special kind of person. And I don't think you're this kind of person, Zach, and JD will find out if you are. Some people get $100 as a gift, and I do think they think to themselves, what's something nice I could do for myself that I wouldn't do if I didn't get this money?
Mm-hmm.
Like, right. I don't know, a massage or something like that.
Right.
But mm-hmm. I've never once thought that way. I've thought, money, give it to me, and then I will disperse it in a way that I see fit.
Yeah.
Right.
JD, where are you on this one?
Well, this has happened to me recently. My last birthday in November, my mother-in-law gave me $150 cash.
Oh, way to go, Norma. Is her name Norma?
Nice.
Yeah. Okay.
Norma, yeah. Yep. And I thought exactly that, Matt. I thought, well, I'm going to buy myself something nice with this. I'm going to buy something that I wouldn't normally buy.
Mm-hmm.
So I got myself a pickleball paddle. That's it.
Oh.
Thanks, Norma.
That's great.
Perfect.
Because here's what happens. If Sandra gets wind, like you gassed up your car. You gassed up your F-150, right?
Yeah,
with the $100 that she gave you.
No, yeah.
It could backfire, and then from now on, your birthday, Sandra's going to get you a gas card. Sounds Matt's really into gas. He loves gas. That's his thing. It's gas. It's like if you're a Raptors fan, they'll get you Raptors gear every year for your birthday.
Mm-hmm. So then you're saying getting she's a gas doing, card. Like a dad smoke the whole pack. Oh, you like cigarettes so much, son? Why don't you smoke the whole pack? She's saying
she's
you like gas so
thoughtful.
Much.
Yeah, no, she's honing in. She learned a fact about you. You love
exactly.
gas.
Exactly. Exactly. So you're the gas guy.
She, yeah. You think she's
so you're getting a gas
can earnestly.
Next time for
yeah.
birthday. Yeah.
Yeah, she's your like, Aunt Sandra. She's going to love you no matter what, but, you know, she's just trying to learn about your life, and you won't tell her. And that's why she has to give you $100, listener, because your Aunt Sandra doesn't know a single thing about your life. Call her. Yeah.
That's
call
right.
her.
Yes.
Now all she knows about you is that you love something called British Petroleum. And that's weird.
Yeah.
Gonna get you a gas card and a bottle of what's the fucking soap they use to clean off the ducks that have had oil spilt on them?
Dawn, is that the one who said
Dawn,
that?
Dawn, yeah.
They say they're doing it. I don't know if I
they're
believe them.
They're doing it. If it can get the oil off a duck. That's what I want to use on my dishes.
Absolutely.
All right, Zach, not everyone is going to agree with everything you say, but sometimes you have to stand alone on the edge of popular consensus. It's time for unpopular opinions. Mm. So in this segment, I scour the internet for unpopular opinions that people are putting out there, and then we sort of assess whether they're good or not, whether we agree. First one here, very curious to hear your take on this. Acting is actually a very easy profession. So this person continues. How many times have we heard the words never acted before and incredible job in the same sentence? People with no previous experience nailing a role. It makes me think that so many people would be able to do it. And the tough part is just getting gigs and breaking into the industry. But once you've done that, provided you don't ruin your reputation somehow, you're set. You just need to find the right people to work with and roles appropriate for your physical attributes. Congratulations, you've got one of the highest paying, cushiest jobs in the world, and you get to spend the rest of your life being a kid. And I guess I'm curious because I'm sure you've seen a lot of people, or I guess first question, have you ever acted or wanted to act or audition for anything?
I've never auditioned for any, maybe auditioned for one commercial one time. I've acted in shorts that I have written and produced with my friends, but nothing professionally.
Okay, but I'm sure you've seen many people make the transition from stand-up to either commercial work or, James Austin Johnson, who used to do Rod Stewart Live with. I mean, I guess what, sketch actor? Is that acting? I mean, it is acting. It's a different kind of acting.
He was a TV and movie actor before he got the show anyway, so.
Okay, perfect. Oh, right. He gets murdered in Breaking Bad, doesn't he?
Better Call Saul, yeah.
Oh, Better Call Saul. Okay, that's a spoiler.
Yeah.
So, yeah, do you look at it and think like, oh, well, that guy did it.
I have had this argument with my friends who do acting a little more regularly. I do kind of agree with this unpopular opinion.
Oh, wow. Okay, good.
Not that I think everybody can be good at it. You see people be bad at it all the time. But I think that's a separate flaw that is not to do with the difficulty of acting. I think that you simply just need to have the brain capacity to either A, be a blank canvas that a director can throw everything onto you, mm-hmm. or to have the ability to like let yourself go into whatever the situation is that you're acting in. But this idea that you need to be classically trained or take years and years of acting classes to be good at it, I do think is sort of a ruse.
But like, because to me, the hardest part of acting is being unselfconscious about yourself. Like I've never really acted, but I've just even been in like shit that we've shot, you know, for a TV show we used to have. And I, as soon as the camera's out, I'm so aware of the camera and the other people standing behind the guy holding the camera. Mm-hmm. And to me, that is being silly while they're in a weird context is the hardest part. But then when I think of comedians, they're often the most self-conscious people. So I'm confused as to how they're the ones that are always like, yeah, just throw me in a commercial. I'll be the Geico Gecko.
Well, I think that unfortunately the comedians who seem to rise to the top now and who are getting these sort of movie roles and everything are sociopaths.
Is that involved in secret blood rituals that get them these roles?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, it's very easy to act when you are a sociopath. I will say that because you spent your entire life just kind of putting on a mask for whatever situation calls for it. I've watched it happen. I have watched the mask go on and off when a comedian sees someone of importance join the conversation.
Okay, so is it three categories of good actors? Sociopaths, dumb people that are a blank canvas.
Yep,
and then just people that just happen to be good at it.
I think so. Yes, or maybe just people with self confidence or who are comfortable in themselves.
Right, right. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah,
but you know, like then I see someone like a Scorsese. Let's say he is always casting like Jason Isbell is in Killers of the Flower Moon. He's never acted a day in his life.
Yeah.
And this guy is like one of the greatest directors of all time. And he just, I don't know if he's so confident in his directing that he's like, I could turn anyone into a star.
Yeah, I think that might be part of it. I think that what we're actually seeing is like how important a director is to making a lot of this stuff happen.
Yeah. What about doing stuff with your hands? That seems to be a hard part of acting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's probably the biggest hurdle to get over is, you know, how do I naturally deal with my hands?
Like if I asked you to be in a scene where I was like, okay, I'm going to be in the break room talking to JD. Mm-hmm. You walk in, grab the pot of coffee or grab a mug from the cabinet, pour yourself a mug of coffee, put it down, take a sip, and then like turn around because we've just said something that caught your attention. Wouldn't you the whole time be being like, all right, go to the cupboard, take the cup out, pour the... I mean, that's what I do when I have to do something like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like... you know, it's like Brad Pitt's always eating something whenever he's on screen. Uh-huh. I think it is the thing where it's like when you're doing all those things, that does actually help you be in the scene and be in the moment because you have something to distract you from the idea of, hey, I'm on camera acting in a thing right now.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, so I would all love to have stuff in my hands.
So we have no respect for actors.
No. They're fools. Absolutely.
Okay, perfect. Well, let's move on to another segment of the population that we may or may not have respect for. Mm-hmm. We'll see how this goes. Unpopular opinion number two, old people do not deserve respect simply due to the fact that they are old.
Let's go.
All right. So this person says, I've worked in healthcare for the last 4 or 5 years. In that time, I've come to realize that not only are a large number of people over the age of 55 extremely entitled and rude, they carry this notion that you have to respect them solely because they are old and everything has to be their way because they've, quote, paid their dues and been on the planet a couple decades longer than you. A whole generation that lives with the mindset of we have to respect our elders. So now we had to respect our elders. So now you have to respect us. Also, this idea that old people are full of wisdom and knowledge, don't make me laugh. TLDR, respect your elders is a load of shit. Most of them are rude and entitled. Basic human dignity for old people? Not on my watch, this person says. Zach, what say you?
I mean, I could not agree more. Oh, what an incredibly good take to have. The correct take. What are they? They're a nurse. Thank you for your service. Yeah, I mean... Listen, the fact of the matter is we're smarter than them. We know more than they do. We know more than our parents do. That's just the way it is. We grew up with the internet when we were like 10 years old. We know how to use it. Like, I understand like the respect your elders thing from like pre-technology where it's like, you don't know anything, and the only people who can pass on knowledge to you are your elders. And now we know they were doing a bunch of horrible shit in the past and are now telling us that we are, you know, the ones who don't know how the world works.
Oh, it's interesting. You're positing it kind of like people that say all, or if not all, the majority of NBA players now, by almost definition, have to be better because they have better diets and they have better physical exercise and better training. Mm-hmm. So just the average player de facto has to be better. So like older person that was just in the oral tradition, and if you could somehow ship a 12-year-old back there in time, that 12-year-old might be smarter than the village elder.
That 12-year-old would know how to do math, and almost nobody 100 years ago knew how to do math. So...
Okay, yeah. Okay, but what about like the wisdom of just love and loss and like things that don't have to do with science or technology?
I think that those lessons are built in a are from a world that doesn't exist anymore because of science and technology. Unfortunately, the world of dating that our parents and grandparents dealt with does not exist anymore. You know, every single one of our grandparents, it's just like your grandpa followed a lady around for a month until she agreed to go out with him.
Hey, he probably harassed her first.
Yeah, absolutely. He shouted at her and she ignored him. So she followed.
He said,
her.
Hey, dame, nice stems. And she said, thank you.
Yeah. And then went on with her day. And then, you know, 6 months later, they were married and pregnant with your dad or whatever.
Okay, wait. But to push back, let's say like you're 16 years old and you're experiencing your first heartbreak. Like you get dumped. We've all been there. And then your dad walks into the room and he's like, you know, I know this seems like it's killing you now and you're never going to recover from this, but trust me, I'm older. I've been through it. This is going to be a blip in your life. You know, you're going to, you know, that is a perspective that you can only have once you're a little bit older.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Perspective and wisdom, I think, are two separate things.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. But I kind of do agree with this because there's some old people whose perspective I don't even trust.
Yes, exactly.
Your perspective is garbage.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's people whose perspective I trust, but I know that I have a higher quantity of knowledge of the world than they do.
Right. But also, like, this person's like anyone over the age of 55. I mean, I'm in my 40s now, and I'm sorry, but 55 doesn't cut it for me as anyone that I think of as older and wiser. I think someone's got to be at least, well, let's see, I'm 42. I want the person to be at least 70. Do you think that's off?
No, I think they need to be at least one full generation above you, for sure. Like, yeah. I'm a millennial. I do not want anybody in Gen X telling me how the world works. All right? You got to be a boomer for me to even take into consideration you talking to me about how the world is.
Okay, JD, you're Gen X. Why don't you tell Zach a thing or two about
that? Yeah, I can't get on board with this because I'm about to be old. I'm like two or 3 years away from being old. So respect your elders, kids.
So you want someone walks into the room and just by dint of the fact that you have the beard of a Gandalf, you want them to listen up.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, it is true in the sense that like you do have a snot-nosed kid that will walk in and start being a dick to an older person.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I want there to be some deference, but I think we've gone maybe too far as to how much deference we're telling people to have of the old.
Oh, totally. The old people can be dicks, there's no doubt about that, but I want the default to be respect now that I'm entering that phase of being old. Mm. That's all.
Yeah,
I want the default to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so maybe it's this. Start with deference, but then be quick to change up the plan if that person is telling you, like, you know, says things like the blacks or something like that.
Right? Yeah. Oh, I think you should go 100% of interactions. You should be going in with respect and deference for anybody. And then when they open their mouth, that's when you get to make the decision.
Okay, exactly. Zach brings up an interesting point. Why don't we just be nice in general?
Thank you. That's the point I've been trying to make this whole time as I talk shit on a large portion of the population and the things they enjoy to do and make them happy.
Let's assume the best of everyone, even old people. It's
even
hard
people.
To do, certainly, but let's try.
Because
with
of
their weird
crimes.
Faces and their malformed backs and their tentative gaits.
Yes.
Let's just try to be nice to those fuckers. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Zach, there's only one quick thing left to do, and that's play Subjective Trivia. So in Subjective Trivia, it's just like regular trivia, except only I know the answer. And just so you know, I write my answer on this card so you know I'm not cheating. Before we start, obviously, as I said at the start, your comedy show was called Rod Stewart Live. Mm-hmm. Do you have at least a passing understanding of Rod Stewart's catalog?
I know the hits, I think.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
So this is not the subjective trivia question. This is objective trivia.
Yeah.
Do you know what Rod Stewart's number one streaming song on Spotify is, if you had to guess?
Is it... what's that song called? It's like Maggie May or something like that?
Yes, that's the one. So that's 330 million streams.
Wow.
But he has five other songs that have over 100 million Spotify streams. I'm going to read them to you now.
Okay.
And I want you to tell me which is the best one.
All right.
Now, you can ask me if you don't know which one of them is, and we'll play you a portion, but for copyright purposes, it'll be me getting over my cold, singing you like maybe parts of the chorus that I remember.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So that's an option for you out there.
Okay. Good to know.
All right. So again, the question is, which is the best 100 million plus streaming Rod Stewart song? First option, Do You Think I'm Sexy? And if you want to know that, it's D-A space Y-A. And there is a question mark at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that crazy disco hit where he asks if you think he's sexy. All right. Next option, Sailing. No. Okay. So it's... I am sailing. Okay. I am sailing.
Yes. Wow. Really incredible. Incredible
yeah,
vocal
thanks.
Work.
And then there's that part where it's like, can you hear me? Can you? Yeah. Okay. You get it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Next one. Have I told you lately? Have I told you lately that I love you? Have I told you there's no one else above you? Okay.
Yep.
And finally, I don't want to talk about it. You know that one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know that one.
Okay. I don't want to talk about it, how you broke my heart.
Mm-hmm.
But if I stay here... is that the words? I don't want to talk about it, how you broke my heart. If I stay here, would you listen to my heart? That can't be right.
I don't know this song at all.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, sing it. Sing it at the pipes.
I don't want to... talk about
okay.
How you broke my heart. Again, I think he rhymes it with heart. Now, I said there was five. I'm not, the fifth one is not an option because the fifth one is All for One, All for Love, which is a triad with Bryan Adams and Sting from the Three Musketeers soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. Oh, weird.
Yeah. Three Musketeers, great movie to buy on VHS.
Yeah.
So your options are, Do You Think I'm Sexy? Sailing? Have I Told You Lately? I Don't Want to Talk About It. I found this to be a hard question because I actually like Rod Stewart, and these are four of what I consider to be his worst songs. Like he can go in that schmaltzy ballad mode and it's...
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, You Wear It Well, Young Turks, Reasonably... These are good songs.
Yeah.
But they're not over 100 million streams, so I could not include them. And of course, you can consult with JD, but which one do you think is the best?
I mean, so JD, I'm thinking that, you know, Have I Told You Lately? He's going to think that's schmaltzy, so that's bad. That's out.
He's a bit of a softy, though.
Yeah.
He is a bit of a softy. Mm-hmm. But go on.
So, I mean, that's why the last two, they seem a little more ballady. And it seems like maybe Matt's going to subjectively say, no, those are not the best Rod.
Right.
Based on, I think, you talking about the ones that you liked and believed to be the best, I do think Do You Think I'm Sexy is going to be the one you think is the best of those.
Interesting.
Okay. Okay, interesting. JD, what do you... Okay. Now, you're saying I'm a bit of a softie.
Bit of a softie. You do like a ballad, I think.
Oh, I do like a ballad. The question is, do I like any of these ballads?
Well, you already said you don't like any of these songs, but...
Right. Good point.
But if you had to pick one...
Yeah.
I think you'd go with I Don't Want to Talk About It.
Okay. Well, I had it down to two. And I couldn't believe what my answer was. It's, do you think I'm sexy?
Wow. Let's go.
Way to go, Zach.
And I'll tell you, because it's like, at least at the end of the day, that's a song that's like, I don't know, it has like, it's basically a meme, kind of like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a question I've asked people in song before, if it comes up. It's a song that if like it played for a bit at a bar, maybe you would move your shoulders a bit. Mm-hmm. Like these other ones are putrid and saccharine. And
yeah.
And I like, and like, I mean, I haven't told you lately, is a Van Morrison song. And like, it's bad. I mean, I love Van Morrison too, especially his later work.
Yeah, the new stuff's really good.
The new stuff is good. But it's somehow like more long-winded and drawn out than the Van Morrison version. So I don't know how he managed to do that. But you got it, Zach. And your reward is you can tell people where to find you.
Oh, great. Wow, what a reward. You can find me on Instagram, at PewZachman, Z-A-C-H-M-A-N. I'm still on Twitter, but, you know, I mean, X, but, you know, who's on there? And, yeah, if you're in Los Angeles, come to Rod Stewart Live May 28th at Whammy. See us record our albums.
Okay, are there any special guests we're teasing?
You know, TBD. It's all very flying by the seat of our pants right now.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to show up then.
Hell yeah.
And I won't be a beef eater. I can promise you that.
Hey, beef eaters only. Sorry, that's the name of the record and the new show we're starting.
All right. Well, good luck in New York. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Zach for coming on. Thanks in advance for leaving a 5-star review. For everyone, I'm Matt Austin. And this was good. We'll see you next week.